Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time. With your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. We are back after a brief hiatus, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying that it's because we had two Caucasian brothers in a row. Shout out to Mike Mills and TJ McClune, but I'm just stating facts that we had our brothers on the show and then we disappeared for 2 weeks. But now we are back. It is summertime. Sports are back, question mark. Well, they're back, but who knows for how long. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. So let me get into it. For those of you on the Patreon, we appreciate your patronage. But you can see my tag team partner out there in Southern California, the man who came in third place in the San Diego Comic-Con cosplay costume for his Trader Barge outfit that he's sporting this week. Like, he really could. Now the Trader Barge is stuck in the bubble, you could make a killing in Atlanta as a Trey Young impersonator. Just stop pulling up from half court. But Ladies and gentlemen, let me bring in my tag team partner. Like I said, from Southern California, Marcus. I too would risk it all for some lemon pepper chicken wings. Vandenberg, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
Not much, man. I'm doing pretty good. You know, we still out here in these Rona streets, but at least we have sports back. You know, we've had sports back, but at least we have sports that, let's be real, most of us actually care about, because nobody cared about golf or tennis or NASCAR or any of that stuff. Soccer. I mean, come on. Like, we back to baseball, football, basketball, the bread and butter. Well, maybe not football, but certainly baseball and basketball, Marcus.
Well, maybe not baseball at this rate.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe not baseball. So, because Florida ruins everything.
Pretty much.
So, how have you been before we get into the topics of discussion this week?
I've been good. I was hoping that if we stayed off the air long enough, we would come back and then coronavirus would be gone. But unfortunately, our plan did not work. So, since we've last chatted, things have kept in LA in terms of the coronavirus. Luckily, I'm outside of the city, so it's not as bad out here, but I guess we're one of the, you know, major hotspots, along with Miami and, parts of Arizona and stuff. So,
yeah, what happened with y'all, Marcus? I mean, not to bring down the mood in the room, but weren't y'all like leading the charge in how this was supposed to be handled at first? So, like, what's been your experience out there? Like, what's been the turnaround? Like, why has it gone south?
Yeah, I think the governor talked a good game in the sense of he wanted to do all those things by the rule book. And ultimately, I think he felt pressure from local city governments and also just the residents of, like, you know, you can't keep businesses closed for 3, 4, 5 months. Like, you know, you're going to, you know, impact their, I guess, you know, day-to-day and how they make income. So yeah. I think he caved on a lot of things.
I mean, technically we could if we had a competent federal government.
Well, there's that. Yes.
But that's, like, we can only deal with the cards that we dealt, Marcus.
Yes. So, originally he was talking about, you know, barbershops be closed for months and, you know, restaurants be closed for months and, sporting events and, you know, granted there's been no fans at Dodger games, but the fact that they're having sporting events with no fans is more than I expected from the state. And the fact that barbershops had opened, in June was more than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we reopened too fast, and we're now paying for, you know, some of that.
Yeah, I think that, like, that's certainly an issue that you could say in L.A. and probably around the country. Because I remember, like, Virginia got a lot of flack, particularly the governor, because everybody said, like, why are we dragging our heels on this? Because he did phase one, and then I think he waited a month for phase two, and then, like, 2 or 3 weeks after that for phase three, when I think Florida was in phase three, when we were still transitioning to phase two. And everybody's like, why are you dragging your feet? And then so it's like not to say that he did it the correct right way, because people still get corona out here too. But I think everybody probably should have pumped the brakes a little bit. And cause I think most people, Marcus, if you asked them back in March, they're like, oh, yeah, this will be gone by the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nah, Rona out here like Antoine Fisher. I'm still here, still standing. No matter what they threw at me, I'm still strong. No matter how you tried to destroy me.
I think this a lot of it was painted as this will be the window of, you know, before the second wave. So you can go out and do your fun and then prepare for the second wave in the winter, when in fact the first wave never really ended. So now we're stuck in this period of like it's been hell. And
There might not even technically be a second wave. It'll just be a continuation.
It feels like at this point, it's just a race to the vaccine now. And I think that's the only probably logical and most realistic outcome at this point, is to wait for the vaccine, because we're not, you know, the president's not going to issue a national mask mandate.
No,
he's not going to order the entire country to shut down for 4 to 6 weeks, nor should he, because I feel like that would just lead to more issues long term. So at this point, we've fucked up enough where it's like you're just bracing for the best, and you're also hoping that people will also do that. I mean, part of it's on human society, right? You can blame Trump for most of this, a lot of this, but there are a lot of selfish people that are also.
Trump didn't tell you to go to the pool party.
No, he did not.
Trump didn't tell you to be out there at the bar. Trump didn't tell you to get chicken wings at Magic City, not speaking to anybody in particular.
He had a mask on.
But what about you, Marcus? Because I know, I think this month is the first time I've actually gone to eat and sat down at a restaurant. I actually went this week and I got a pedicure, you know, because I'm fancy like that.
Okay.
And but I'm gonna tell you, Marcus, like I got it done, but I wasn't comfortable getting it done. Like it's a weird experience too, because like the restaurant I went to, like they had the table. I guess they did it as best they could because they had everybody spaced out. You had to wear your mask even when you're in the restaurant until you ordered. And then once you ordered, after you ordered, you could take your mask off. And when they brought, you know, when they brought you food, you could take your mask off. But like you had to have your mask on pretty much when you weren't eating in the restaurant. And then you had to have it on the whole time at the nail salon when I was getting my pedicure. So it's I don't know if I'm in a rush to go out to eat again. Just because it's not this, like, I guess if you really want to be around people, like if you need that social fix, I can understand it. But for me, like the benefits of being around other people don't outweigh the inconvenience. So like to me, I'd rather just like get some Grubhub and kick it at the crib.
Yeah, we have not been out to a restaurant since. Actually, I didn't tell you the last time we went out to a restaurant. The last day we went out to the restaurant was March 12th, which was the night after the NBA shut down.
I was gonna say that was pre-lockdown.
Yeah, we went to Astro had a doctor's appointment, and we stopped at the mall on the way back and went to Islands. And even at March 12th, the mall was like a down. Like it was us and like one other person in the mall at Islands for lunch. And that was the moment where I was like, okay, this is going to be weird for a bit. And yeah, that was the last time we've been out like that. You know, my day to day, depending on the day of the week, I'm either, you know, dropping Asher off at daycare. Outside of that, I go to Target, I go to the grocery store, I would do a lot of drive-throughs and take out, but I haven't really been. I went to the mall one time. We went to the mall during the window when we should actually go to the malls here, and that wasn't that bad, because if you think about it, you can really keep 6 feet within people. Like, the mall wasn't crowded enough where you felt like people on top of you, so that was fine. And besides that, I mean, haven't been to LA since, I think, April. So I've sort of stayed in my own little bubble out here. So, you know, I would, you know, obviously I have to do some of the things. I would like to get a haircut, clearly. but it's not worth it.
So you just got to let it go full Trae Young.
Yeah. So
we're gonna find out the truth about the Marcus Vandenberg hairline.
I know.
You've been using LeBron secret the whole time.
It's still in there. Still holding strong. I know there's, since we've last talked, Disney World has opened, and for a few days that was the talk of social media, is like, how dare Disney World reopen during the middle of the pandemic? Mind you, the other theme parks had already been open, but you
know, right.
Disney was the one that was.
That doesn't even sound like fun, though, Marcus, because, again, going back to my experience at the restaurant, like, yeah, obviously I get why somebody would want to go to Disneyland, but it feels like a diminished version of Disneyland in terms of the social distancing and wearing a mask, and you probably can't even touch the characters.
Can't touch the characters. No fireworks show.
Mickey's like, get away from me. You got that Rona. Mickey, you got Minnie, you got the hand sanitizer.
Master required.
I feel bad for those workers. Okay, Marcus, here's a silly question, but it's an actual scientific question I need to ask of you, since you're the Disneyland aficionado. Do you think the characters, the people playing the characters, have to wear a mask under the mask?
No. You mean the like Mickey and
with the characters that have heads.
No, and even the face characters aren't wearing masks. But
okay,
they're doing parades, but they're like on vehicles, so they're not within 6 feet of people. So yeah, masks are required. The only advantage would be, and looking at some of the videos and stuff, the parks are very empty. So.
Yeah, you get to ride all the rides.
You get to ride all the rides. There's no lines.
So if you're one of those Southern Heritage fans that wants to ride Splash Mountain one last time before they turn into the Princess and the Frog,
yeah,
now's your shot.
Yeah, so, you know, Disneyland out here is still closed. Disney World's been open now for 3 weeks, and the world has not combust, you know, despite Twitter's best efforts. So, But yeah, I mean, for us, it's been very much staying at home. We've sort of talked about maybe doing an Airbnb somewhere just to get away for a weekend. But quietly, it's almost August, Nate. And it feels like summer will be over before we know it. And then we get into the fall.
Yep.
And who knows what that looks like.
I was going to say, yeah, because like, by the time this episode airs, it probably will be August. You know, depending on how quick I am with the edit machine this week, Marcus Vandenberg. Like, so August, it might, like, by the time
5 days from now, it'll be up before then.
Yeah, by the time you people are listening to this, it probably is August is right either here or right around the corner. So we down to the last month of summer, and then we got to figure out people like that's the crazy thing. School districts are still trying to figure out what we're gonna do for school, and school is a month away in most places.
Yeah, let's talk about schools for a second. Because that was another hot button issue. I think, you know, there's been conflicting information about how much do kids you know, carry the disease and bring it back to different, you know, households and adults and stuff. And then you have the teachers to worry about as well that are putting themselves out there. I can see both sides. Like, I understand that this virtual learning is going to be ultimately bad for the students, and it's also bad for the teachers that are teaching and also trying to parent at the same time. So right. I get why people are trying to rush their kids back to school. But it feels like if you know a vaccine is coming in the winter, what's another semester at this point, right? Just start virtual.
Yep.
Give, you know, students that want the vaccine some type of priority list, and then focus on getting them back into the schools in the winter.
Yeah, it's crazy because I think in a weird way, the schools are actually more prepared now than they were in March when they had to cut the end of the year short and go to learning by satellite. And now it's like, okay, that was like preseason. That was your two or three scrimmage games. And now we're back to the regular season. We're back to the, you know, postseason here. And so it's like, they should be better equipped right now, Marcus, but because everything is political, even if it shouldn't be political, people don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
And you got, I think the funniest thing to me though, is I forget it was either MSNBC or CNN, or it might have even been Fox when I scan through Fox every now and then, but like some parent who was willingly choosing to stay at home, who was on unemployment, wanted his kids to go back to work, but he didn't want to, his kids to go back to school, but he didn't want to go back to work. Like, come on, dog. That's just wrong. Like, yeah. Like, you gonna let the kids be the guinea pig?
Yeah, that college concerns me more than elementary, middle, high school. College feels like that could be just a recipe for disaster with the dorm situation.
Yep. And I don't want to stereotype anybody, Marcus, but let's just say if your college is one of the SEC member schools, like, those are the kids I'm worried about the most.
Roll Tide.
Cause we know how they act up, Marcus. So all I'm saying is, if you know some people that might be associated with an SEC member school, you might want to tell them to stay in the crib for a little while.
Note it.
Cause Karen and Keegan, they gonna be out here at the pool parties, and you don't want to catch that Rona.
Yeah.
They gonna be out here playing cornhole with no mask on, is all I'm saying, Marcus.
Yeah. It's
alcohol is not an effective counteractive measure to the Rona.
How do we know? do we know?
Cause we've seen people at the bar get the Rona, Marcus.
That's true. All right. Yeah.
Why is it? Okay, that's one more thing on the Rona, Marcus, before we move to the sports. Like, what kills me is you got I don't even know who the latest celebrity was, but you know, these celebrities that want to be out here partying and stuff and putting it all on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and like, you know, Corona's just a hoax. It's just like the flu. And then 2 days later, I need to apologize because I was irresponsible. I contracted Corona.
Doja Cat said
yep.
something about coronavirus being for pussies or something along those lines. And what happened? She got coronavirus.
This is the culmination of a very bad summer for her.
Yeah, she's
she's had a rough go of it lately.
She was showing her feet, and now
she's you showed them your feet.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on outside of the bubble, Marcus. But let's talk some sports here, man, because we finally, for the first time in what feels like forever, get to talk about sports that people care about. No disrespect to NASCAR or golf or tennis, but we finally got baseball back. We got the NBA, who has completed their, I guess, preseason games, if you want to say that, the scrimmage games.
Yeah.
And then by the time the show is out, the season will just be kicking off, or will have already kicked off. So let's start, because this is funny, because this is like tearing you between your old love and your new love, between baseball and the NBA. Let's start with baseball, Marcus.
Yeah, let's start with the Yanks.
I feel like we're gonna have some more to get into, but when we get to the bubble, so let's start with baseball first, because they were officially the first ones to start live actual games to count.
Yeah, so baseball started last Thursday, actually, and even opening day, Juan Soto tested positive for coronavirus and was placed in the DL. And luckily, in that situation, it felt like it was an isolated case, and no other national players came down with it. But over the weekend, we had, I think, two Cincinnati Reds players on the DL with coronavirus. And then Sunday, there were, I believe, four Marlins that were scratched. Yep. Actually, before that, the Braves lost both of their catchers to coronavirus before their opening game on Friday, which, you know, not normal. And Sunday, four Marlins get the Rona, and they decide to play anyways on Sunday against the Phillies. Mm. And while they're, you know, testing everyone, the test results came back on Monday morning, and I think it's now 14 players and coaches have tested positive for coronavirus on the Marlins, and they are still in Philadelphia. Monday's home opener was postponed. Yankees-Phillies was postponed. And baseball is not thinking about pausing or canceling the season at the moment, which
correct me if I'm wrong, Marcus, because I was doing some errands this morning listening to the radio. Are they actually going to try to play the Marlins using their minor league players?
The reason why teams have these 60 player pools was for the situation, like, it, let's say a bunch of guys come down with coronavirus, you need to have a player pool that's big enough to fill rosters. So I think what's going to happen is I think they'll move that series up to Baltimore, because that's where they're headed anyways. Mm-hmm. And they'll play probably two doubleheaders in Baltimore later this week. And then they'll fill out their roster with players that are part of their player pool, and then they'll try to sign some free agents that are out there to be had. So
I got one question for you, Mark. Well, two questions. One serious and one silly. I'm gonna start with the silly one first, Marcus. Cause obviously we know, like, how hard it is to become a major league ball player. But if you can't get on a major league roster during a global pandemic, you might need to find another job, dog. It's just not going to work for you. Yeah. Your whole major league affiliate has gotten sick, and you still waiting in the, like, do they have like a separate travel schedule for the reserve players?
The reserve,
like, are they players, kept in a secret location?
There's a site for the reserve players. Yeah. So
you just sitting there, like, just watching everybody leave to go up to the big club. You just like, y'all need, oh, y'all good? Okay. I'm here if you need me, though. Like, if you're the last man in the room, you might want to find another job.
True, but there are a lot of guys on the player pool that are, like, have not played in the majors, or are super young guys or top prospects that they're stashing just in case. So there's a situation where you might find a 19-year-old who might not get the call. But, yeah, they have a whole 30 other guys that are sort of waiting for this moment. So
that brings me to the serious question then, Marcus, because obviously you talk about waiting for this moment, like baseball and your man, Rob Manfred, have been waiting for this moment. You know, it took them what seems like forever just to figure out what they were going to do for this season and to come to an agreement between management and the players. And now that it started, it feels like this thing is not going to end well, Marcus. Like, if the first week is any indication.
Yeah.
Do you feel like they'll be able to complete the season? C- Because I don't.
I think they'll complete it, but I think at some point there's going to be like a 2-week timeout.
Mm.
A 14-day quarantine somewhere in the middle.
So instead of All-Star break, we get the Rona break.
Yeah. I think ideally if Arizona and Florida weren't such a mess, they would have gone or tried to go the bubble route after the fact and say, look, just we'll play in the minor league stadiums or the spring training stadiums and we'll go that route. But both of those states are out of the picture at the moment. And there's no other states that have the facilities to host Major League Baseball teams. So I think at some point they're going to have to take a pause in the middle of the season to sort of calm things down, and then they'll finish. You know, I know the people on Twitter are upset, like, well, why not just cancel the season? And, like, there's a lot of money on the line for them to finish the season. Same reason why the NBA is still finishing their season. It's the same reason why the NFL will push through and play football despite whatever tests you might hear about coming forward. But it feels like the only, I guess, positive would be the NFL can hopefully learn from MLB's mistakes. And that being, they need to probably strongly consider some bubble locations that they could use just in case things get too hot during training camp. Because on the flip side, we're talking about baseball, but NHL reported today that they've had no positive cases within the bubble. And this is before they even hit their bubble cities, which they hit there yesterday. So they're coming into Edmonton and Toronto with no positive cases. The NBA has been at no positive cases for, I think, a week now at least. And then MLS, which is also in Florida, continues to have, after those two teams dropped out, which I don't see a Major League Baseball team dropping out of the season like MLS did, but since those two teams did drop, they've been at zero cases. So I think the bubble, when done correctly, can work, which is great. But if you're outside the bubble and in a situation like baseball where you're traveling a lot, I don't see how, you know, that's going to work when you're asking the player to really sort of be responsible at this point. And
you're asking the player to be responsible, but you're also crossing state lines. Like, one state might be trying to do the best they can, and another state might be wide open. So it's like, you can't, when you're in a bubble, like you said, with the NBA or with the NHL, you can kind of diminish the amount of variables in the equation. But when you're traveling like Major League Baseball is, it's like, it's hard enough trying to keep your players under wraps without, okay, now we're going to Texas, or now we're going through Arizona, or we got to fly, we got to make a stop over in LA. You know, and you, like, when you can't control the variables of each location, or we up in the Northeast and all of a sudden we get another outbreak. You know, it's like, I think you're right. All things considered, they probably should have picked a centralized location. The issue is where, you know, given that Arizona and Florida are kind of off the table. And so with the NFL, that's the question I have, Marcus, because who's going to be big enough to house this social experiment / corporate exercise / sporting event?
Yeah, I mean, if you're thinking about cities that have multiple NFL stadiums.
LA.
I mean, LA has really three things: the new stadium, the Rose Bowl, and the Coliseum could all host NFL games. Dallas has JR World and their practice facility, which is, you know, pretty much NFL capable. I mean, to be honest, Dallas might be your best bet just because of the number of high school fields that are pretty
I was going to say, some of those high school fields are like college level.
Yeah. But, you know, Texas has not been a state that is
That's the other thing. Like, if I'm an NFL player and they're like, okay, we're going to a special location for the next 3 months. Where is it, boss? Texas. Nope.
Yeah.
Like, I think location does play into the discussion when it's like, yeah, we've seen the reports come out of Texas and Arizona in that locate that part of the country. And so it's like, do you go maybe like, is Michigan an option? Is that like someplace like Michigan or Ohio? Would that be a better option where you can, where you've got a pro stadium and maybe some college stadiums that you can kind of mix and match with? But it's, I think in the NFL, it's going to be very difficult because as difficult as it was for baseball to kind of get things ironed out, I think the NFL is just that much harder because you got more moving pieces.
Way more players on the roster.
Yeah. Support staff, all that.
Yeah. And I just don't trust football players to do the right thing, to be honest. Like, I don't trust baseball players to do the right thing. I don't trust basketball players to do the right thing.
No.
If they had the opportunity to do. So I just don't trust athletes in period in general. And a lot of it comes down to trusting your fan. And if there's no trust there, then, you know, it's just a matter of time. So I don't know what the NFL does, but I do expect them to play football this year, whether they start in October instead of September or they start in November instead of September. Again, you thought there's a lot of money involved in baseball and NBA. Like, there's way more money on the line for the NFL. And the idea of just canceling the season because it's the right thing to do, like, like that's not happening. Come on.
Well, I'm glad you brought up money, Marcus, because, you know, you up here sounding all smart and educated with your facts and your figures and your morals. We talking about sports, man, and sports and money in America. And as much as you want to say baseball might have messed up this rollout, you can't deny the ratings, Marcus, because when's the last time we saw ratings like this for baseball?
It's been 2011. It was the highest. The last time a regular season game.
I think even like the rain delay that the Yankees had was highly rated. Like, people were just sitting around waiting for baseball to come back on.
Yeah, I mean, that was funny because there's been this campaign, I would say, of, I'm going to boycott sports or defund sports. And a lot of it is tied into Black Lives Matter and the leagues now acknowledging some of the systematic racism that's taking place in their leagues. And of course, that has upset a portion of the the world.
Just stick to sports, man.
Yeah. So, there's been a lot of that. And to see a number that high for Yankees Nationals, which, as you mentioned, it was a rain delay and a rain out eventually. That was surprising to me. And also, just further proof that wrestling has not got this right at all, because and maybe wrestling needed to go away for people to miss it, but it feels like every other sport has come back to ratings that have been much higher, but wrestling is going in the other direction.
Yep. Yeah, it's funny, Marcus. I think maybe my favorite headline, and I feel like whoever wrote this headline, they took a page out of the Marcus Vandenberg School of Pettiness, because they were talking about the Orioles and the Red Sox, and they were like, entire Orioles team - some of the Red Sox kneel before the game. like you had to put Boston out there like that, but I appreciate that pettiness.
Yeah. That's I think we're past the kneeling stage in terms of a team. I guess they're doing it for each home opener, so we'll have some teams that are still.
You got Freddie Freeman out here with them guns and the Black Lives Matter t-shirt, Marcus. That must make you proud to be a baseball fan.
How much of this is – I think there are definitely some guys in baseball that actually – believe the message and believe what's going on or believe what they're wearing on their shirts. But it also feels like there are other guys that are just, you know, going along with it. And then there's some, the Giants pitcher who's like, my religion doesn't allow me to take a knee. Where in the Bible does it say you can't take the knee before the anthem, not during the anthem, before the anthem? Like, show me that scripture. So,
you know, but I will say, like, yeah, a lot of it does feel performative, Marcus. Performative,
yeah.
But I will say, like, for, because when was it? Was it like, it had to be 2 years ago at the most when you and I were having a discussion on the show about Adam Jones's comments. Mm-hmm. And so it's like for Adam Jones to feel like he couldn't speak. Yeah, because it was doing Cap's first round of protesting.
Yeah.
When Adam Jones was talking about how he wouldn't feel comfortable protesting because he'd be all alone in baseball. So to go from that to this, like, yes, I agree that I feel like it's largely performative, but it's performative for a good cause, I guess.
I mean, Bruce Maxwell was 2017, I believe, and he was all alone, and he's now out of organized baseball.
Mm.
Granted, he had some other stuff going on. There was an arrest at some point, and
You can't, like, just a public service announcement to all my brothers out there, all my revolutionaries. You can't be like, defund the police, Black Lives Matter, all cops are bad, and then get arrested, because the justice system ain't going to look favorably on you. I'm just saying, brother, like, if you going to be a revolutionary, be a fast revolutionary. Don't get caught. Don't be a slow revolutionary.
Yeah. And don't read Farrakhan. Let's put that out there, too.
But that did happen while we were away.
Yeah.
The whole who started it?
Farrakhan? Was it Nick Cannon?
No, it was, because it was before Nick Cannon. It was Jackson. Deshaun Jackson, then Steven Jackson, then Nick Cannon. Yeah, that was a crazy 2 weeks.
Oh boy.
Like all of a sudden out of nowhere, like now we beefing with Jewish people? Oh, okay.
Well, Farrakhan made a speech on July 4th. And that seemed to be the tipping point for.
See, I was too busy watching Hamilton. I didn't see what Farrakhan was saying.
It's on YouTube if you want to watch.
Two and a half hours.
Yeah.
2.5 hours. Damn.
Yeah, that's a long speech. I didn't watch
it. And I bet you he ain't got not one rap song in the whole speech.
Nope.
Yeah. So Hamilton already is better.
Yeah. So that was sort of like, oh, people are now discovering Louis Farrakhan, and then, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't our finest. Because
I feel like, yeah, like, Farrakhan has had seasons. Because I feel like when you and I were probably, like, when I was in high school and you were probably in middle school, like, Farrakhan was pretty prevalent in hip-hop culture. You know, because we're coming off of the riots. We're coming off of a lot of visible moments of Black people being mistreated, and so you got people like,
too.
Yeah, and he was a lot more visible. So you got like Ice Cube and Public Enemy and people that, you know, in that were prominent in hip hop, kind of either outright co-signing Farrakhan or kind of using some of his language in their music. And then it felt like Farrakhan like kind of fell off for a little bit, but yeah, he came back.
He came back, man. It was like more than the final call. He's like, I'm coming back, man. Don't read Farrakhan.
We could spend a whole episode with Chris, because I know Chris got some angry thoughts about Farrakhan. So that happened while we were away. Anything else on baseball before we go to the bubble, Marcus? Do you want to speak some more on your man Deshaun Jackson?
No, I don't. Baseball is in this weird limbo of, like, as we're speaking right now, there's...
Oh, real quick, let me go back to Deshaun Jackson, because I will say, without Deshaun Jackson, I don't know how many people would realize that Julian Edelman is the greatest Jewish athlete in the game today.
In any sport?
In
just football?
I think I'm willing to say in any sport, Marcus. I think I might be willing to go out on that limb.
Jewish baseball players. I wonder if there's any Jewish basketball players.
Oh, that's a really good question.
You might be right for Edelman.
unless we get some converts, but like in terms of like, because here's the thing, like that whole idea that he was throwing out there where they can like go to the Black History Museum and then they can go to the Holocaust Museum, like in a way I'm kind of like, I don't know if this helps, but okay, I'm kind of glad Julian Edelman said something, because yes, like some people just need to be like told to kind of sit down and learn, open a book,
mm-hmm.
like learn some stuff before you speak. So like, I'm glad that Julian Edelman, his reaction wasn't, you know, oh, you know, F that guy. It was,
and I would have supported him if that was his reaction too.
Yeah, like, which is, I'm saying, like, that's a natural, understandable reaction, but I'm glad that he took it a step further and was like, nah, you need to learn some stuff. And it's like, okay, I like Julian. I don't know what's happened to Marcus Vandenberg. Maybe it's the Cam Newton effect. But despite what's behind me on my wall that the people watching the video can see, if the Patriots win the Super Bowl, that I don't think I would be unhappy about that.
At this point, I would be happy because that would mean football somehow.
We finished the season.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how they get to the Super Bowl, because every other team has been put in quarantine.
Yeah.
We end up with the Patriots versus the Browns because they're the only two teams left standing.
Sue Bird, Jewish. So I'm gonna nominate Sue Bird.
Sue Bird, okay.
Over Julian Edelman.
Yeah, Sue Bird is great. Yeah.
She's
WNBA back. Is back,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. So baseball. Yeah, so baseball is in this limbo of games are still happening, minus those four teams at the moment. And I think the true question will be if members of the Phillies end up getting coronavirus because of close contact with the Marlins, then I think we have an issue. If it's contained with the Marlins, you know, it's, I mean, either way, situation's fucked, but at least it's isolated to one team.
Not to make light of the situation, even though I'm going to make a joke, but the Marlins are kind of a minor league operation anyway.
Oh, they deserve to be healthy too.
Sorry, Jeter. But yeah, yes, they do. Yes, I hope everybody recovers, but, you know.
Yeah.
How big a loss of them players anyway? Cause
yeah. Well, hopefully it's isolated and baseball can learn from this mistake and do better for the rest of the season.
What have you made of the games, Marcus? Like, outside of kind of the larger question about, like, should we even be playing? What precautions should they have taken? But, like, just sitting down and watching a baseball game for the first time in forever, what have you thought of the actual on-the-field action?
On the field, it's been better than I expected in terms of the actual action itself. There have been some blowouts. But we also had a complete game shutout opening day from a Kyle Hendricks. Like, I was not expecting pitchers to be prepared to go nine innings right on the, you know, day one. So that was a surprise. The actual broadcast itself, I have not been a fan of the ESPN approach of cramming in interviews for every half inning of baseball and every quarter of basketball. Like, maybe it's just because it's the first weekend, but at some point you just need to actually call the game and not sort of have this.
Just let the this is what people have been waiting for 3-4 months. Just let the games exist. You know, you obviously, I think you have to add something just because you don't have fans, you know, you don't have all the bells and whistles you normally would, but yeah, especially with baseball, it's, like, I don't think they found their footing yet. And, like, I like Chipper Jones as much as the next man. Probably I like Chipper Jones more than he likes me. I'll just say that and leave it there and let you draw your own conclusions. But, like, I didn't need Chipper Jones the whole damn game.
I mean, well, he's part of the team now.
I'm saying Marcus Vandenberg. I said what I said. I don't need Jones.
Get used to him because he was pre-Rona. He's part of the Sunday night crew.
It didn't work for whatever reason. I don't know why, Marcus, but maybe they're just – I was going to say, well, yeah, and they're just kind of learning the rhythms of each other. But and it's an unprecedented situation. So, yeah, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But I think I would rather watch the game and then have the radio on and listen to the radio broadcast.
I did a little of that on for opening. I had the Yankee broadcast. I put on the Yankee radio feed. And they're calling the game back from Yankee Stadium, despite the game being in D.C.
Okay.
And actually, the Dodger radio feed as well, I was kind of impressed how good it sounded. Like, they found a good way to mix in the audio coming from the ballpark, but also I think they weren't calling the game on site. I think Charlie Steiner was actually calling the game from home. So it sounded pretty seamless for them to call that on radio. So I think they'll figure it out, but the broadcast.
I think baseball, in terms of just listening to a broadcast, I think baseball probably does work better on radio, just in general.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been, you know, entertaining to watch. It. This is the first weekend where it's felt quote unquote normal for sports fans. I think. You know, waking up and having Sunday day baseball was nice. Like, baseball is on at the moment. Having day baseball today has been nice.
That's the thing, Mark. It's like, if you have been starved for sports, like, you are going to get overfed now.
And I think
everybody's trying to get these games in.
And it's okay to admit you've been starved for sports, because I feel like that's also been a thing where it's been cool to say, oh, I don't miss sports. Like, I mean, that's great if you don't, but then don't knock the people that do miss sports, because, yeah, for a lot of us, not only do we miss sports, this is not something we've ever experienced, ever. Having, you know, 4 months without anything, like, that has never happened before.
Yeah.
Maybe since, you know, probably World War II, when everything.
I was gonna say, like, yeah, some World War II type of stuff, but even then, they had the Negro Leagues.
Yeah, they had something.
And they had the like the women playing baseball. Even then, they had something.
Yeah, so you know,
I saw League of Their Own, that great documentary by Penny Marshall. but so yeah, like
it's okay to miss
like
sports.
There should be no reason, Marcus, under normal circumstances, that I would be watching the Padres and the Diamondbacks under any normal circumstance. But coming off of 3 months of the Rona, 4 months of the Rona, I'm watching it just like the next man.
You going to watch hockey on Saturday?
See, now you might be going too far.
Oh, come on. It's the playoffs. You
I'll tell you what I did watch, though, on Sunday. Like, I sat down. Not only did I watch the WNBA, Marcus.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that.
But now. I watched back-to-back, Marcus. I watched a Washington Wizards scrimmage game and a WNBA game back-to-back, like they were the fifth and sixth game of the NBA Finals. Like Breonna Stewart, she getting hot. Y'all better check her. Somebody play defense.
Like, did you watch Liberty Storm?
No, I didn't see. I didn't see your girl Sabrina Ionescu. Was that her debut?
Yeah. Yeah, that was, she had a rough game. That was her debut.
No, I didn't see that one. I was I got sucked into the Washington Sports Network wormhole, and so I watched 2 hours of the Wizards and the Clippers, and then after that, right after that, they played Mystics and
I forget who they played, but the Mystics blew them out. I do know that.
Yeah. Yeah, and so yeah, so I had my DC sports fix watching 4 hours of basketball that, again, under normal circumstances, Marcus, I wouldn't have watched a minute of it probably.
Yeah, it's I watched the Liberty and Storm on Saturday morning, which was the first game, which was.
Did you have your orange hoodie on?
No, my hoodie is lost in the mail and has not arrived yet. But that the hoodie was like the most popular item on Fanatic yesterday.
Really?
In terms of sales. So that's good to see.
I feel good for the WNBA because I feel like this might be the first time since they launched that people are actually watching them in significant numbers.
They've been slowly building momentum, especially on social media, the last couple seasons. But I think, yeah, they're another league that had some pretty impressive ratings for them this past weekend for their opener. And, you know, I think they'll probably take a little bit of a hit once the NBA comes back and, you know, people start settling into routine and hockey's coming back too. So yeah. I'm glad they at least had this 1 week window where they could at least have a weekend to themselves or a week to themselves before the NBA comes back. But yeah, it's another team that in the bubble and they have managed to get the bubble to work.
So where is the WNBA bubble at?
They're in Bradenton, Florida, which is like 100 miles north of Orlando.
Okay.
They're at the IMG Academy, which is a prep school.
Wasn't that your man Nick Bollettieri back in the day?
Yep.
Yeah, the only reason I remember that is because wasn't that where Capriati came from?
Uh-huh.
And then a couple other tennis players. Yeah, that was back during my tennis watching phase in the mid-90s.
Man, I watched a lot of tennis growing up. It was I was a huge James Blake fan. Basically just rooted for everyone black. Malavi Washington.
Yeah, Mal Washington. Let's see, who else back in the day?
On the men's circuit, it was Washington and Blake.
Yeah. And Michael Tang. I claim Michael Tang, too.
All right. I was an Addison fan, though.
Michael Tang was cool. Wasn't Pete Sampras part black?
I mean, the hair? We can look him up.
I'm saying, yeah, Pete, he has some Negro tendencies with the hair. Like, I don't know if Pete is biracial or...
Greek. He's Greek. That's what he is.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
That it's tracks, yeah. Oh, okay, Pete. Yeah. I like Pete back. And I was, because you either had to be an Agassi fan or a Sampras fan.
And I was all the way.
I rolled with Pete.
You know, it was the Nike sort of connection with Agassi that I think hooked me. I mean, he had more of an edge, too.
Yeah, he was like the rock star.
Yeah, Pete. And Pete was
like Tim Duncan.
I was going to say, Pete was Bret Hart and Andre Agassi was Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a little more flair.
And then we had the girl, Zena Garrison back in the day.
Yep.
It wasn't a good time for black tennis back in, I mean, I'm saying that like it's an abundance of black tennis now.
You take out the Williams sisters, it's not a great time for, I guess you got Osaka now. You have some other people that are.
Yeah.
Stevens.
Is your man Monfils, are we counting him?
Gael Monfils, yeah. He's not American, but.
He's French, though. He's French. I mean, I don't know if we were counting international black people.
Did you know he's 33? Which for tennis, like this is the end almost.
Yeah.
He's 33.
I want to say like outside of when the Williams sisters play, I haven't been checked into tennis for probably like 10, 15 years. It's been a minute.
Yeah. I mean, the U.S. Open used to be one of those events that I would watch from sun up to sundown.
Yeah.
But.
Like I mean, Wimbledon used to be on HBO with your man. Who's your guy? Bud with them shorts.
Is it Bud Collins?
Bud Collins, yeah. Like Wimbledon used to be on. Like that was like the heyday of HBO Sports because they had Wimbledon, they had the boxing with Lampley. Yeah, HBO Sports used to be the deal.
Yeah, now it's just documentaries and
like why am I staying up till 1 o'clock in the morning watching Wimbledon after dark? With a Mary Jo Fernandez interview.
Mary Jo,
Like, why am I staying up to 2 in the morning to hear what Patrick McEnroe has to say about his second round match? I don't know, but there's something about tennis back then.
Yeah, not the same, but tennis will be back soon, too.
Your man Jim Courier. so many random players from that era.
Yeah.
I mean, Martina Navratilova still trying to hang in there.
That's the thing. I mean, there's tennis was much better in the 90s about having a sort of a mid-card of talent. Now they have you have superstars at the top, but once you're outside the top four or five, it drops off pretty fast.
Yeah, so what you're saying is tennis in the 90s was like WCW, and tennis now is like AEW. We only care about the elite.
Yeah, pretty much.
We only care about Cody and the Bucks and Hangman.
Yeah.
Every now and then you get a Sunny Kiss sprinkled in, but...
Yeah. So that's our tennis tangent. So yeah, the NBA is in Bradenton, and they're doing... The abbreviated season.
That's how we got there. I was like, how the hell did we get on that tennis tangent? Because of Nick Bollettieri.
Yes, IMG Academy. So, yeah, they're back, and they're so far doing well and doing well in the ratings as well. So the NBA bubble.
Let's get to the main event, Marcus Vandenberg. The main course, if you will, of this delicious dish of lemon pepper chicken wings that we got to speak on.
Yeah, so the NBA bubble has been, I mean, it's almost been a month now. It's July 27th. Yeah. So, yeah, people are starting to show up early July. So we're 3 weeks in. So far, so good.
That's our friend of the program, Mark Spears, is in the bubble.
Mark Spears is in the bubble. He even got us his seafood boil. Yesterday, he got to eat like a true Cajun boy.
Yeah, I saw him. Was it Lisa Saltis he was playing in Madden?
I didn't see that video.
Yo, like, that might be one of the craziest things about this whole period, Marcus, where we're just seeing, like, life within the bubble. Like, who is it? The two NBA players, like acting like they're a jealous couple.
Oh, Tobias Harris and Boban.
Yeah, Tobias and Boban. He's like, he's out there with Luka. And then Boban sends him a bottle of wine to make up. But Lisa Saltis was on ESPN yesterday, and she was talking about, like, this Madden game that she was playing against Mark Spears, and she whooped Mark Spears, like, 33-7.
Oh, really?
And friend of the program, Mark Spears' excuse, Marcus, was like, I hadn't played in 2 years, and, you know, it's a different system, and I'm trying to get the controls right. Plus, she got kids that she's been playing against. So, you know, she's I'm rusty. She been in practice. So, yeah, so Mark Spears got stomped out in some Madden football by Lisa Saltis.
No, I'm protesting. I didn't see that.
Yes, they were talking about it on Sunday on SportsCenter.
So, yeah, the bubble has been going good for the most part. We've had some people that have had to leave the bubble for family issues.
Yep.
I think maybe four or five guys, and I think most of them are now back in the bubble after leaving the bubble. But the one player who caused the most headlines for leaving the bubble was Lou Williams, who had a death in the family. I don't think it was his father. I think it might have been a godfather or grandfather, but it was not his father. And he attended the service and back in Atlanta. And there was a photo that popped up on social media Thursday night of Lou Williams, who appeared to be out somewhere in Atlanta. We know exactly where, but he was with I forgot the guy's name. I'll find it. But he was out, had a mask on, but you could clearly tell he was at some type of establishment. And that was sort of it for, you know, they both sides denied it. Both sides tried to say, oh, this happened pre-runner, despite Williams wearing a mask, but whatever. So it finally comes out that it was indeed from Thursday night, and Lou Williams took a stop at Magic City. Nate, let the people know what Magic City is.
Oh, yes. Magic City is dare I say iconic, Marcus. Iconic gentlemen's club.
Iconic gentlemen's club. It's the Mount Rushmore of gentlemen's clubs.
Yes, and it is. It's funny because Magic City has brought down a lot of great men in history and strained relationships in history. But I think this is like the first time that somebody's had their reputation besmirched from Magic City and it's not involved one of the performers, shall we say?
Yeah, because we should point out that even though he was at a strip club, there were no dancers there, supposedly. The reason why Lou Williams stopped at the strip club was to get some food. Mm. And, you know, I think for me and you, even though I'm not a huge strip club guy, I think I understand the culture enough that at certain strip clubs, the food is actually pretty good.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, most strip clubs, you know, it's kind of standard fare. But, like, Magic City, again, to cement the iconic nature, like, I've never been to Magic City, but the one thing I always hear, other than stories about nights of debauchery and drunkenness and women and what's going on there, is that the food is really, really good. Yeah. In particular, these wings. And so the wings were what brought Lou Williams to Magic City that night.
Now, where I think he went wrong.
Also, an important point to the story, Marcus. Mm-hmm. Not only is Lou Williams eating wings at Magic City, but he's eating the Lou Williams wings. My man has his own wings on the menu, so that gives a little bit of context to the relationship between Lou Williams and Magic City.
Yes, he's got his own lemon pepper barbecue wings, I believe.
They sound delicious.
I was reading some New York Daily News stories about it, and they had a link to the menu, so I flipped on it, and I was like, he's got his own wings. Like, Lou Will lemon pepper barbecue.
Like, that does sound good. Like, you can't lie. Like, that sounds good.
They also have the Uncle Jeff honey jerk. They have the Juju Rude Boy jerk. And something called Justice Magic. Those are the signature style wings. But,
and you can get all flats or all drums.
Yes, which is important for wings. There's a lot of debate about which is better. So, yeah, this became a thing for 24 hours where people were, of course, you know, either befuddled why Lou Williams was eating at a strip club and or people applauding Lou Williams for eating wings or getting wings from a strip club. And then later discovering that he has his own wings, which is even, you know, more epic. So,
okay. Here's the thing, Marcus, because obviously you can have a question about whether he should or should not have gone to this establishment or any establishment in this current climate of the Rona. But do you think that the fact that it was a strip club made this a bigger deal than it would have been, say, if he had gone to Bojangles or, you know, if he had gone to Raising Cane's?
Oh, 10 times. Like, if he, and that is the sort of, that was the issue that people took with the photo was, it was a strip club, and I think automatically you assume that he was there for more than just food, which it sounds like wasn't the case. But yeah, if he went to Buffalo Wild Wings and was waiting for takeout and still broadcast the fact that he was at a restaurant, I think there'd have been some chatter, but it would not have been the story it turned up being.
Right.
He, you know, eventually he had to come clean to sort of the NBA investigators to say, like, this is what he was doing. And he's back in the bubble. And as a result of his strip club stop, he is now in quarantine for 10 days. He's going to miss the first two games of the Clippers restart, which start Thursday. So, I mean, I would consider it a punishment. It's more so what they need to do to keep everyone else safe.
Yeah.
But I think the only issue for me would be, why would you put this on social media? Like, if you're going to get wings.
Right.
Get wings and don't broadcast it. But it feels like we're in this culture of, like, everything you do needs to be shared. Mm-hmm. When in fact, it doesn't. You just need to go get your food. In reality, he could have, you know, sat in the car and waited for the wings to be ready and then sent someone to get them. Or have them bring them out. Like, curbside is now a thing all of a sudden for all these places. So I'm sure they could have brought the wings out. But
Like I get it. Like if you know he's back home, like his people's died, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm gonna eat something that reminds me of home, you know. And obviously, if
he's
his name is on the,
he's from there.
Yeah. And obviously, if his name is on the menu, he has a connection to this establishment and to these wings. So I get that, Marcus. But you're right. Like there are several ways you could have gotten these wings without being in the restaurant. And even if you wanted to be in the restaurant and sit there and kind of reminisce, you don't have to put it on social media.
Yeah.
Because nobody would have known about this. Because here's the other thing, Marcus. Like, I applaud the NBA for all these measures. And, I like how you said it's not a punishment that he has to sit out for 10 days. It's a precaution. You know, they're making sure everybody's safe. But the one measure for the NBA bubble that I feel has been an abject failure so far has been the snitch hotline. Because ain't nobody snitched on nobody yet, apparently.
No, that's changed. People did snitch.
Oh, really? We got...
someone snitched on Dwight.
We got some whistleblowers.
Yeah, someone snitched on Dwight Howard.
That feels almost too easy, though, Marcus.
Well, he has not been wearing a mask. He has been on this He's been on this anti-vaccine campaign. Oh, yeah, he's been... Yeah.
Oh, damn it, Dwight.
He said some dumb shit in the bubble already. So
just when people were starting to like Dwight Howard again.
Pretty much. So, yeah, they've been using the hotline.
Damn. And it figures then people would snitch on Dwight. I didn't know he was out here being an anti-vaxxer, though.
Yep. So.
Much like DeSean Jackson, like we said earlier, Marcus, sometimes a little bit of knowledge is dangerous in the wrong hands. Because if you don't have the full context, you are just smart enough to be dumb.
Put it like this. There are a lot of dumb athletes out there. There are a lot of dumb people out there. Look, if the election has not only the election, but the anti-masters and everything that's happened since 2016, if that isn't proof.
Well, it's the old George Carlin joke. It's like imagine how smart the average person is. And then just remember, half the people in the country are dumber than that guy.
Yes.
It's like, like everybody's not a genius. And, you know, everybody's not trying to educate themselves or trying to learn or trying to at least be safe out here. Like there's, for better or worse, for lack of a better term, Marcus, there's some dumb people out here.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that they're not still part of our family, Marcus.
Just like your family, you can't choose. Who's in your family? Despite whatever flaws.
Sometimes Dwight Howard's in your family, and you just got to live with it.
Yeah. So, you know, Dwight has been snitched on, but Dwight has been very open. He's been posting videos within the bubble, not wearing a mask and walking around. So he was.
Why?
He did have been snitched on from Instagram. So.
So is he doing this on principle? Like he just doesn't believe in wearing a mask?
I don't think he believes in wearing a mask, to be honest.
Dwight. I'm just getting back to your boy Ludo, like, because he wasn't the only Clipper, correct, that has to sit out a few games?
Montrezl Harrell had to leave the bubble. Pat Beverly had to leave the bubble.
Yeah, Pat Bev, I knew.
But I think those guys aren't getting the 10-day self-isolation because, you know, I don't think they're out eating at strip clubs. So,
right. And who knows? Like, because they didn't post pictures, they could have been doing worse stuff.
This is true.
But we'll never know.
We'll never know.
They could have been out at the pool party with Doja Cat.
Showing feet.
Showing feet. Put a mask on your feet. But yeah, Marcus, like I'm excited for the restart. Do you now? I'll ask you the same question that we talked about for baseball, and I think I'm a little bit more optimistic with this one than I was with baseball. Do you think they'll be able to finish the entire season?
Oh yeah, I am
without an interruption.
I am 100% confident that I think the hardest part for them was just getting to this point now of. You're introducing people from across the country into one spot. And let's say you do have the random person that does somehow get out of the bubble. The way they've treated it so far, like, they're going to A, catch that person, and B, that person will sort of be removed from other people.
Yeah.
They've been taking it. I mean, if Rashawn Holmes got in trouble for literally going to the front of his resort to pick up
to get the DoorDash.
If that got him eight days in quarantine, like, they're going to take this seriously.
Yep. Yeah, it's like one of the sci-fi movies where somebody gets the radiation and they got to go into the detox before they can be put back in the general population. So yeah, like, I've been very impressed with how they pulled this off. Because a month ago, I wasn't sure if they're going to be able to do it, Marcus. Yeah. I do think they'll be able to finish without any major interruptions. I'm just going to say this though, Marcus, if anybody gets LeBron or Giannis sick or Kawhi, they might get blackballed from the league. You're not gonna mess up Adam Silver's money like that.
No.
I think LeBron probably got a bubble inside the bubble.
Mm-hmm. Next level.
You can't, like, Dwight Howard is nowhere near LeBron's bubble.
Yeah. No, I think they're in good shape. And you gotta remember, the longer we go at this, the less teams will be in Florida, and the less risk in theory you'll have, because once we get past, I mean, really, this eight games, we'll be down to 16 teams. So we're going to remove, you know, six teams, which, you know, 15 players each plus their whole crew. So that's, you're taking out 100 plus people right away in August. And from there, after the first round, we'll drop to, what, eight teams? So,
and you do have to give the TBT a little credit, because they were kind of the guinea pig for this. You know, the basketball tournament last month, where, you know, I don't know how many ever teams they had, but they were in their own little bubble, and they did testing on site, and they were able to go through that without any major hangups or major glitches. So, you know, if they were able to do that, granted, the NBA is a bigger scale operation than that, but I think that was kind of like, okay, we can get this done as long as we follow the steps.
And I think if NFL has any chance of pulling this off, they need the testing to be not only daily, but they need results that same day or
even doesn't make any sense if you got to wait a week for the results.
And that's what's happening with baseball. Baseball's having this delay of, you know, when they were trying to get these summer camps going, summer camps were being shut down because they're waiting for test results. In the NFL, they can't afford to have those days off of the camp. So, you know, I don't know who they need to pay off to get these results back the same day. And yeah, I'm sure they're, you know, probably taking some resources up from the general public, but at the same time, I'm sure they're paying for all of this out of pocket.
Oh yeah.
They need to figure out the testing. And if you have daily testing, you should have really no surprises of, you know, who's positive and who's not.
Mm-hmm. Like, if they can pop your man, damn, now I'm blanking on your guy from Cleveland. Always got pop for weed. Was it Cribs? Josh Cribs?
Josh Cribs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if they could test them for drugs like 5-6 times a season, they can get this done. Like, we know they can get tests done. So the question, like you said, Marcus, is the accuracy and the speed of these things. And so, yeah, I'm on the scale, on the sliding scale, I think I'm less optimistic for football than I am for basketball, but I'm more optimistic for football than for baseball, if that makes any sense.
That makes sense. Yeah, and football is also going to have this longer runway. I mean, they've officially canceled all preseason today, so no preseason games.
Yep.
You know, camps are opening tomorrow, which is July 28th.
But the NFL told me those games were important.
Nah, not for sure. I mean, they might be important week one when we're watching some shitty ass football, but we'll get past that.
Millions and millions of people will be watching that football, though. Yes. That's the thing the NFL cares about.
So I think for the NFL, their goal between tomorrow.
Do you think
and...
this changes real quick on preseason? Do you think this changes it going forward, where we only have maybe two games, two preseason games, because we've seen we can do a season without having all four?
I think each team will have one home game and one road game. So I think that'll change.
Yeah, that makes sense, because you do have, like, the only thing I think preseason is good for is filling out your roster.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like, yeah, like college kids, they've got a training camp, but they don't have preseason games, even though some schools play other schools that would count as preseason games.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, high school, the kids don't have preseason. So, like, it's not like these guys have been used to preseason their entire football careers.
Especially not four games. I mean, that's a lot.
So, yeah, I think two games could be a good thing. Getting back to baseball real quick, though, because I do think this is an interesting time where people can kind of play around with some things. Do you think both leagues will have the DH going forward? Or is that just a corona thing?
I do. I think they won't keep that 10th inning rule, though. That rule's not really great. But I think they'll keep the DH means one more sort of player on each roster that is going to be, for the union's sake, another body. So they're already increasing the roster.
That's crazy. The designated hitter survived, like, all these decades, went through world wars, and the Rona brought it down.
You mean the non-DH?
I'm saying I'm talking about the DH. Yeah, the non-DH National League. Yeah.
Like,
went through all those decades, and the Rona was what the thing that finally brought it down.
Yep. So that'll stay, I think.
The double switch dies, not with the bang, but with a whimper.
Yeah.
With a sniffle.
Oh, wait. My,
like, Tom
my wife
Lasorda
is
told me for years.
Hold on 1 second. Keep talking while I meet you.
I was going to say, Tommy Lasorda said for years how genius the double switch was. So, yeah, for those watching, you can see Marcus Vandenberg on the phone, being the good husband and father that he is, taking a call from his wife. I want to hear from the audience. Like, we haven't done listener feedback in a while. And maybe Marcus and I will have to get together and do a live show once the NBA gets back into full swing, once we have our playoff team set. But I want to hear what you guys and girls have to think about the return of sports. Are you excited? What have you been watching? Are you watching sports that you've never watched before? Do you have confidence that these leagues will be able to pull off getting these seasons done? So, you know, that's something that we could talk about. So,
yeah,
you know, I was informing the listeners, Marcus, that, you know, maybe once we get down to our playoff field in the NBA, we can do another live show and kind of hear from the audience out there, like how they feel the NBA's return is done and what sports they're watching now that we're back in this new era of sports on TV. So, you know, maybe that's something we can do in a month or so.
Okay.
Because I think the WrestleMania show went off pretty well.
Yeah, back when wrestling was relevant.
Back when Vince and Dana White were the only games in town.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, okay, Marcus. Uh-huh. Like, that's another thing we got, because we can't talk about this. I almost let it slip my mind, but maybe this will be our segment four for the week. Because we got baseball back. We got the NBA back. The NFL is on the horizon. UFC has been out there on Fight Island doing their thing. Wrestling has been out. But, Marcus, are you ready for the greatest sporting event that only the Rona could bring us?
What's that?
Roy Jones Jr.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Versus Iron Mike Tyson.
So, this is happening. Why it's happening, I don't know. But September 12th.
I was
going to
say, like, Mike's not really – like, Mike's – I know Don King took a lot of Mike's money, but he seems to have rebounded.
I don't think this is for money. I think both guys have enough money. I think it's boredom slash curiosity with himself. I mean, you know, once an athlete, always an athlete. Even people who were never – professional athletes, if you played any type of sports, deep down inside of you,
I still got it.
I still got it. I could still go out and, you know, give so-and-so the work. Like, people, that's just how people are wired who compete competitively.
It's like your man that was at the TBT tournament. The dude that didn't, like, look like John Lovitz, the kind of slubby-looking white dude. Like, he was still getting buckets.
Yeah.
Out there 40-something years old.
So, yeah, I think that it's down to just that sort of competitive, you know, fire. And I'm sure deep down they're trying to promote something. I'm sure Tyson has something up his sleeves. But
oh, yeah. His dispensaries or something.
This is happening September 12th in Carson. No fans, to my knowledge. And it's a quote-unquote exhibition fight where both guys have agreed to not really kill each other, which, you know, I wouldn't step into the ring with Mike Tyson with the impression that he was not.
Look, that's what Thunderlips said to Rocky, and we all know how that fight ended.
Yeah.
Or even more appropriately, that's what Drago said to your boy. That's what Drago said to your boy Apollo.
Apollo, how that ended up.
And we know how that one ended up.
He died. He killed him. I don't expect Roy Jones or Mike Tyson to die in this fight, but I do expect there to be some point where one side gets upset over someone hitting them a little too hard, and then, you know, what happens happens. But
and Mike, like, honestly, like, we know, like, Mike can't fight a real fight. Like, Mike, we don't want to see Mike come back and try to fight Tyson Fury or anybody like that, but Mike still got them hands, as you've seen, like, in these little videos he's put out. I don't know if I'm Roy Jones Jr., I don't know if I want them problems, even in the exhibition, Marcus.
Well, first off, let's admit that Roy Jones is the better fighter, number one, than Mike.
Yes, Number two, Roy Jones, yes, historically, Roy Jones Jr. is the better fighter than Mike Tyson.
And Roy Jones has been fighting more recently than Mike Tyson.
Yeah. I mean, Roy Jones just recently found out that Roy Jones has fought in the last 5 years.
Yes. He's been fighting a lot, but too much recently, I would say. So,
I said, I didn't know Roy Jones has been fighting, and Roy Jones said, y'all must have forgot.
Yep.
And we'll have to go out with, speaking of HBO Sports, I remember the night they debuted that video after the Roy Jones Jr. fight. So we'll go out with that this week.
Roy Jones last fought 2018. He won the WBU German version cruiserweight title.
So, now you just making stuff up.
That's what the Wikipedia says.
It's like he went on a WWE 2K and created a title.
Yeah.
The WBU. Not even the real American version of the WBU title, but the German version. So he had to go to fight in Germany for that?
That was his last fight. So no, he fought in Pensacola. He fought in his hometown.
It seems like he should have had to go to, like, Dusseldorf to defend that, Munich. Yeah.
So Roy has been the more active fighter. I would give the advantage if you're actually going to pick a winner in this whole thing. I would give it to Roy Jones. Despite whatever.
This is actually going to be an exhibition and not just Mike going in there trying to punch this man as hard as he can in the face.
Yeah, which, you know, depending on the day of the week, you never know with Mike.
If I was Roy Jones Jr., I would send Mike like a care package of edibles and CBD oil and the best weed he could find before the fight. So he gets happy, Mike, and not manic depressive Mike.
I think this is a bad idea in general. I'm not super interested in watching them fight. I mean, I will watch because I'll probably have to work, but it is not something I was gonna say,
people say they won't watch it, Marcus, but they will.
Well, here's the thing. Will they buy it, though? People will watch. Are people going to buy the fight?
That's a good point. I'm telling you right now, Marcus, I'm probably going to call up my favorite cable company, Nefarious Means International, and buy the pay-per-view that way.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. I mean, depending on the price, they have not announced the price of this fight, because we have not mentioned the undercard fight that's been announced yet. which...
Ooh, I didn't know there was an undercard.
Oh, really?
Is this just like a lineup of classic fighters?
No. This is not, at least not yet. This is...
Because I do think like that there's some kind of weird Heroes of Wrestling novelty that you could get if you put together like the best fighters of like the 90s and the early 2000s on one card.
And I would feel better about that if they had on headgear, but they're not wearing headgear for this. They're wearing 12-ounce gloves, which is bigger, but no headgear.
Yeah.
The undercard fight that has been announced so far features Jake Paul, who YouTube stars slash amateur boxer who has competed on his own. And he actually, you know, considering he's not a boxer, he looked boxer-ish. He looked fine.
Is that the dude that did that disrespectful video over in Japan?
It might have been his brother, Logan.
It was Logan. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, it was Logan. Yeah.
So Jake Paul is stepping in the ring against 5'9" Nate Robinson.
Nate Robinson has just come back into my life recently, Marcus, because I've been playing 2K, as you well know. And they've got like NBA 2K TV that you have to like wait for and watch while you're waiting for your game to load up. And on the recent episode, it was Chris Webber and some 2K gamer versus Nate Robinson and the host on 2K TV. And Nate Robinson was giving Chris Webber the business. Like he was,
he
hit him with that Lisa Salter's Mark Spears action. So like Nate Robinson is like, I'm like, oh yeah, I used to like that guy a lot. Like he was in a couple dunk contests and him and your man Big Baby Robinson had like a little Big Baby Davis had like a fun little friendship in Boston. Like, yeah, Nate Robinson was a good like mid-card basketball player for a while.
And a former football player.
Yes, at Washington.
Yeah. This is Nate's statement. Quote, I wanted to show that I'm a world-class athlete. I played college football, played in the NBA for 11 years, but decided for this venture into the sport of boxing. Jake Paul, I want all the smoke.
Now, are they going to fight with headgear?
They're not.
Oh, so this is going to be for real then?
Yeah, I put my money on Jake Paul.
He's got the reach advantage.
Got the reach advantage. He's got the size advantage. He's got the
How old is Jake Paul?
Boxing experience. Let me see here. Jake Paul is 23, so he's at the age advantage.
Oh, so he's got a big age advantage, yeah, because Nate's probably mid-30s.
Yeah.
Mid-30s, early 40s almost.
He's also 6'1", so he's at the...
Ooh, yeah, that's a big reach advantage.
Nate is 36.
Yeah, so Nate's got a stick and move.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's the question, Marcus. Would you rather watch, like, let's build this fictional card out. Would you rather watch Tyson Jones and then the undercard be, like, celebrity matches? Or what I said earlier, where it's Tyson Jones and then a bunch of nostalgia fights with boxers from the 90s and the early 2000s?
If the nostalgia fights included headgear, I would rather watch like
somebody De La find Hoya. Prince Nassim. Bring Prince Nassim back for a fight.
I don't need to watch Prince Nassim fight. Like De La Hoya versus someone.
Is Vinny Paziens still out here?
Is he still alive?
I was gonna say, is he still with us? Vinny Paz.
Okay, he's alive.
Yeah, get Vinny Paziens out there. I used to like watching Vinny on Tuesday night fights.
Nah, he had some serious injuries. We do not need to see. Oh,
okay, he can be part of the broadcast team then.
Wikipedia: Paz has been arrested on a variety of criminal charges, including alcohol-related crimes, domestic violence, passing bad checks, and disorderly conduct. So we'll
never mind.
Cross him from
the list. Is Hector Macho Camacho still with us?
Boxing, you never know. Let's see.
Because I know his son's still fighting.
Died.
Oh, damn. RIP to Macho Camacho. That was like a class, Marcus, like of Tuesday Night Fight / HBO / Showtime Boxing back in the day. Like your Macho Camachos, your Sweepy Whitakers, Meldrick Taylor.
That in 2012 at 50.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's been a minute then.
Yeah.
Now, I knew his son was fighting, but I didn't know Hector died.
Oh, yeah. He got shot in Puerto Rico.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could do a whole, I wonder why there hadn't been a documentary, particularly since sports documentaries are big right now. I know they did the one about Nomas with Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran, but you could probably do a whole documentary about just that scene of boxing, in the mid-90s to the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Because it was just colorful characters, up and down, the Bernard Hopkins of the world, Sweet Pete Whitaker, Roy Jones Jr.
I mean, you do one just on Bernard's life. I mean,
yeah. When did B Hop finally stop? Because I know he was fighting for a minute.
B Hop stopped. This is 2020. He stopped, and it's been at least a few years, 3 or 4 years now.
Because I know he was hanging there for him, and he was still fighting, unlike Roy Jones Jr., who's fighting on these, who's fighting in his backyard for some fictional German title. Bernard Hopkins was actually fighting on legitimate shows.
Yeah, last fight was 2016 at the Forum. Lost to Joe Smith. He lost to Kovalev before that, which...
Yeah, I remember that.
The Kovalev fight was the one I was like, this is not really good for B-Hop, because he was getting... And that was 6 years ago. He was getting worked. But, yeah, I mean, B-Hop's career is interesting because of the jail time in the middle there. And he was sentenced to 18 years in prison. He did not do 18 years, I believe. But he's someone, and he's such a good talker too, that I am sure he would be very open about everything he sort of experienced.
Oh, yeah. Hopkins is he crosses over with a lot of other stars of that era. Mm-hmm. Roy Jones could be a feature part of that documentary.
Yep, because he had some fights with Roy.
Yeah.
Far too late. Those fights should have been earlier in both men's career, but he fought Felix Trinidad.
Yep.
He fought De La Hoya.
I forgot all about Felix Trinidad.
Antonio
Tarver. Tarver, Mason the Lion Dixon.
Winky Wright. I mean, he fought.
Winky Wright, yes.
I know.
Yeah. And now all we got these days is we got Tyson Fury, and then we got your boy, Tony the Tiger, who's not even a champion anymore because he lost to Charlo.
He lost.
These be some characters. That's the reason Floyd can stick around and still make all that money, because he was on one of the few characters around.
I mean, but unfortunately, most black fighters, he had to be a certain type of character. He couldn't be.
Yes. Yeah. He was cast in a specific role.
Yeah. And he played that role pretty well.
Yes. You're either going to be the cocky villain or the George Foreman when he came back, the happy-go-lucky.
Mm-hmm. I'm just happy to be here, boss. Sutherland. Yeah.
Yep. Just happy to be here and sell my grills. And, oh, I knocked out Michael Moore. I guess I'm the champ now.
Yeah. I'm fat. Look at me.
I'm fat. Yeah. I'm fat and I'm a preacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, George Foreman. Good for him, though. George parlayed that into, famousness for the rest of it. He was already famous, but it took him to a new level
and
of
money.
Mainstream fame and money. He's still out here selling grills.
Mm-hmm.
He had a video game on the Sega Genesis, I think. It might have been Nintendo. He had a boxing game.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I remember that.
Yeah, because you were fighting as George, and you had to hit that Philly shell defense.
Yes.
Yeah, 90s boxing. That's a That's a tangent, Marcus. We 90s boxing and 90s tennis. That's what we stumbled upon this week.
It just means we're old.
Yep, that's why we're not in the bubble, Marcus, because we are at risk category.
We are over 35.
Over 35 black men, pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, it's a bad combination.
We're not allowed. Bad combination. We're not allowed in the bubble. So Marcus has to stick to being Trae Young outside the bubble.
Yes.
So if you're having a birthday party this weekend or a cookout, you want to add a little bit of flavor to your next office Zoom meeting, Marcus Vandenberg is available for rent. I just want to see some corporation hire Marcus. Like, ladies and gentlemen, we got a very special treat for you all. You know, I know it's been hard during the pandemic, but let's welcome NBA star Trae Young, everybody. And I bet you 90% of the people on the Zoom would think that you were Trae Young.
What does that say about the people on the Zoom?
They're like, he's got the jersey, check. He's got the hair. He's light-skinned. Everything checks out. I don't know if he's got a jumper, but if it looks like a Young and it quacks like a Young.
Gotta be a Young.
But yeah, that was the highlight, Marcus, of my NBA session the other night. I know this doesn't mean anything to a lot of the listeners, but I got a Galaxy Opal Trae Young card. And then now he's my starting point guard on my team squad. So I got Trae Young, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Tony Kukoc, and then my starting center is Dino Raja.
Wow, Dino.
Yeah, because him and Kukoc, like, certain cards have attribute boosts for each other if you pair them up. So, like, Jordan and Pippen, they have attribute boosts for each other. So Dino Raja and Tony Kukoc, because they're both Croatian, have attribute boosts. So that's why I got Dino and Tony on the squad.
That seems racist.
It really does, because, like, for some of them, it's teammates. Like, if you got Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, they both give each other a boost, and that makes sense. Jordan and Pippen, that makes sense. Like, I know Kukoc and Raja played back in Croatia, but they never played in the NBA together, so.
No, yeah.
Like, they're both Croatian. Let's give them an attribute boost.
Problematic.
It is. So, but I mean, they made up for it though, because they got all this fresh Black Lives Matter gear in the NBA store.
Okay.
And at first, Marcus, I was like, I don't want to. At first, I was like, I don't want to, you know, sign up for this corporate, performative, like we were saying earlier, Marcus, this performative wokeness. But then I was like, oh, they got like hoodies and like the tank tops and the headbands and the shooter sleeves. So I went from not having any Black Lives Matter merch, and it's all free. That's the other thing in the NBA store on the game.
Okay.
It's all free. So, like, my whole character from head to toe, the guy I made, he's like a 6'11", 6'11 power forward, but he's like a point forward. You know, he got them handles, and he's just head to toe in Black Lives Matter gear.
That might be the case just on Thursday when guys come back to play for real. You might see a lot of guys stepped out.
Yep. So yeah, we'll see. I'm excited for the NBA, Marcus. I think like you said all show, they've been doing it the right way, and I think they're gonna reap the benefits of not only the TV ratings, but actually probably being able to finish a season unlike some other sports, unfortunately. Or at least finish a season without a major interruption.
Yeah, and then at least in their case, they need to think about what they're going to do for next season, because if they're starting in December, the vaccine won't be readily available. So then I don't support the bubble situation again, because that's not free. The mouse charges. So do you go back to your home cities, and do you start just playing games with no fans? And maybe that's how you spend the next season, is back home, but no fans for entire season. And then maybe the following season, you can bring back fans. So that's something I'm sure they're thinking about in the back of their minds.
I think the only thing we can hope for is that they develop the vaccine. And also, we got President Biden by the time that scenario rolls around, Marcus. Because I do think that will make a difference in how not just sports, but the country addresses this next year.
Yes.
Because we might still be waiting and hoping that one day it just disappears. Because that's how diseases work to some people.
That, I know we talked about this in the past, but I am fearful of the percentage of people that aren't going to get the vaccine. Like, it's one thing to not get the vaccine day one, but...
Right. Well, I already told you, I'm waiting till we get some qualified, regular, average, non-rich white people taking the vaccine. Because that's the thing, Mark. It's like, I don't want to be the first. And we know how America has tested the vaccine on us before. And I also don't want, like, the rich white people to be the only ones getting it. So I just want an average middle-class white family to get the vaccine, and let's see if it works. And if it works for them, then I'm going to stand in line.
So let's say they go through the trials and, you know, there's no major issues once they go through the trials. Would you then want to wait further after the trials when they go into public distribution? Would you want to wait a month, 2 months? How long?
I'd probably wait a month. Yeah, I'd probably wait a month because that's the thing, Mark. It's like, yes, I want to see it because the trials are good, but I want to see it actually in the public first and see if it works and doesn't turn people into zombies, because that's how the zombie movies start, Mark. Because I don't know if you watched a lot of these zombie movies out here, but it always starts with some scientist doing something and then he gives it to the people and it's all good. And then I believe that's the title of the movie. One of these movies, Marcus, it's like 30 days later or 90 days later. Hmm. They turn into zombies. So I'm going to let it go 30 days first.
Okay.
And then see what happens. What about you?
I think if, well, for me in my situation, my health, I would probably want to see what it how it responds to people with IBD and Crohn's and stuff. Mm-hmm. But if it weren't for that, I would feel, considering the number of vaccines and / different trials that they're going through, I'd probably feel okay day one to get it. But
that's a good point that you bring up, though, Marcus, because yeah, like everybody's physiology isn't the same.
Yeah.
And so what type of reactions and complications could come from that? So, yeah, I'd want to see it tested amongst a wide group of people first. Because, mm-hmm. you know, just because it works for Billy and Karen over here, it might not work for us, Marcus.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to be out here on a podcast like Dwight Howard telling people not to take the vaccine.
Exactly. But, yeah, there's going to be people that aren't going to take it, period. And that's when I think you're going to need some type of... Like
Jenny McCarthy?
Yeah.
Candace Michelle, of all people.
when you start having to show your vaccine proof to go to events, that's going to be the reason why. And you know what? I would rather flash something on my phone to do something than to, you know, be out in the public and knowing that there's people out there that are sort of not taking this thing seriously.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point, Marcus. So yeah, like I think, because again, people are like, oh, you know, this ain't bad. You know, this is just as bad. Like it's not worse than the flu. Well, we got ways to combat the flu, right? We got shots that you can take. Like we've been known about the flu for years and years. Like this is something brand new. It's that new hotness with the Rona. So it's gonna be interesting, Marcus. Like the next 100 days in general are going to be interesting because we're running up to the election. And will we even be able to go out and vote, or will people be able to vote by mail, or will that be obstructed? So, like, I think the next 100 days are going to be very interesting because that could chart the course to how we deal with this going forward.
Yeah.
So
wear a mask.
So.
And really stay home. I mean, just stay home.
Yeah. I was gonna say I've been to the restaurants. It ain't all that right now.
I mean, like, it's out not here. One of the malls, they're setting up tables in the parking garage for like for the restaurants. Like, do you want to eat in the parking garage? No, just don't eat at home. Wait.
Yeah, like if this were any other time, if this were normal time, you would be offended if they told you to go eat in the parking garage.
But you're dad. thirsty to go eat somewhere that you can't just eat at home, like just eat at home. It's the same food. Like, you can take it with you.
DoorDash, Grubhub, Postmates, yeah. Uber Eats.
So they
deliver alcohol now too. Like you can get beer and wine delivered to your door. So why do you need to leave the house to go to the restaurant?
Exactly.
Like this is stuff you would have dreamed about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So enjoy it. But yeah, I think that's going to do it, Marcus. We're going to end this week's episode and reclose the bubble around the podcast and make sure nobody gets in or out until next time we get on these microphones. But before then, what you got going on for the people? Anything of note that we should keep our eyes and ears out for on Yahoo? And where can the people find you on social media?
Nothing of note. You can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
I thought you were going to announce that you challenged Mark Spears to pick up them sticks.
Yeah, no, that's not much of a challenge, it sounds like.
Vandenberg versus Spears. That's what should happen, Mark. It's like we should get like a black journalism, black broadcasters Madden League started. And honestly, I'm going to put my money on Stan Verrett because Stan looked like he stayed playing Madden. Low-key. Yeah,
I can see that.
Stan looks like he stays playing with the Saints on some Madden.
Yes.
I can see Stan being good.
Really, like, it should be a spades tournament. It shouldn't be video games.
Okay, you took it to a new level.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, the spades and dominoes. We have a spades bracket and a dominoes bracket. And I think I'm putting Jay Harris as my top seed in the dominoes bracket.
Mm.
Jay looked like he could play some bones.
Yeah. He's a Virginia guy.
Yeah. I think Jamel could probably play some spades.
She can play some spades. She's played against Magic before. Magic's played against her.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Were you a part of the game or were you a spectator?
No, I've heard about it. I wasn't.
Because that would have been a story. That would have been a story. I would have like, why are you just telling me this now? Seven years into the show, that one night, Nate, I was at Magic City. It was me, Lou Williams, Jamel Hill, and Magic Johnson. We was eating lemon pepper wings, playing spades.
No, I don't have any famous spade stories.
Mm. Spades is a lost art. I think. Like the people younger than us, I don't know if the next generation is picking up spades like we were taught spades from our elders.
No, but they need to learn.
There's actually an app on I know it's on the Google store. I don't know if it's in the Apple store, but there's a Black Spades app.
Oh.
That you can get. And I like sometimes it'll have different themes. Like when the Bayou Classic happened last year, all the cards were like football themed, and they played like the school fight songs. But yeah, I want to say it's like it's Black Spades, Black Spades Official, something like that.
Okay, check that out.
And you can so anybody that's under the age of 30 and hasn't learned how to play spades yet, you can get an app on your phone and learn how to play spades right now. So when we can lift the quarantine, we can play spades.
Because you will get clowns if you come around and you find out you don't play spades, then
you just can't hop on anybody's table and just start reneging. Yes.
No. Mm-mm.
That'll get you cut in some locations.
Yes.
But yeah, that's gonna do it for this week. You can find Marcus, like you said, at Marco Will on Twitter. You can find me at N8 MOZAIK. Got a new episode of Rocky Maivia Picture Show up that just dropped on Post Wrestling that you can check out, talking about Fast and Furious 6. That was a fun episode, so you can check that one out at Post Wrestling. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/KingsOfSport. Check out Facebook, facebook.com/KingsOfSport. Twitter, Cospod, KOS_POD. And I think that's it. I think that's all we got, Marcus. So, yeah, we'll end the conversation here this week and then pick things up next week where we can actually talk about some actual live NBA games for the first time in what feels like forever.
Yeah, first time in 4 months since March 11th.
Yeah. So yeah, this will be fun. So it's actually, even though it's not normal, it feels a little closer to normal than where we have been having these sports back.
And maybe this will keep people home, because maybe people just need something to keep them occupied away from going out. So.
Yep. Yeah. Stay at home and watch the NBA instead of crowding up in the Applebee's. Like, Applebee's ain't even that good. Like, it's good. It's okay.
Yeah.
But it ain't that. It's not worth dying for.
No.
Yeah. So stay at home. Maybe the NBA can help us with that. And I'm also interested to see how the racial justice movement plays into the season kicking off. Because you already know, Marcus, there's going to be some chatter on the internet about that. So we'll see. But shout out to us. Yeah, shout out to everybody that's expressing themselves. And shout out to your man, Mick Foley, today, Marcus, for saying Black Lives Matter.
All right, Mick.
Yeah, and he put up a cool little graphic. It's like the NWO logo, but it was BLM.
Oh. Someone like, just okay. On your shirt. Okay.
I'm saying, like, that's going to be it. If pro wrestling tees hadn't already jumped on that, somebody will. Because, that's going to be the next shirt. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Thank you for listening. Hope everybody's staying home. Hope everybody is being safe as much as they can be. Marcus and I will be back next week with some NBA talk. And who knows? Maybe we'll still have baseball to talk about by then, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yes. So that'll do it. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. And y'all must have forgot. They got the nerve to say I ain't fighting nobody. I just made them look like nobodies. Don't get me mad because I'm amped already. I took titles from fighters who was champs already. The heart of soul of boxing on HBO. What these other fighters take me for? A joke? Because y'all must have forgot. And you've been down with the Kings.
Everybody, get on your feet. Get on your right feet. Roy Jones Jr., the best pound for pound fighter in the world. Whoever don't agree, you know what? I guess
y'all must have forgot. When they stole my gold medal and sold career, let's look back at my whole career. Cause y'all must have forgot. The best pound for pound is mine. Hit Percy Harris with four hooks at one time. Y'all must have forgot. Bernard Hopkins and won the IBF. The right was hurt, beat him with the left. Y'all must have forgot. You remember the left hook that James Tony got? Sucker move I stole from a Gamecock. Y'all must have forgot. Will it be another Roy Jones? Probably not. Stop Frazier Hill with a body shot. See, y'all must have forgot. I got disqualified in March of 97. A whipping to Montel Griffin. They hit my title, they had to take it. Why? I guess that's the only way I could lose. 5 months later, rematch, I need my crown. First round, one punch, and he sat down. Don't get me mad, cause I'm amped already. Took titles from fighters who were champs already. The heart and soul of boxing on HBO. What these other fighters take me for? A y'all must have forgot. And they got the nerve to say, I ain't fight nobody. I just make them look like nobody. Y'all must have forgot. And David Telesco, he really asked for it. So I beat him with a fractured wrist. And y'all must have forgot. In the ring, I box. There is none higher. How I use these? They call me sire. To earn my kingdom, I must lose fire. And I won't stop boxing till I retire. I'm Roy. Y'all must have forgot. When I beat Reggie Johnson, took his light heavyweight title from him. See, y'all must have forgot that I'm nice with these. Y'all must have forgot. This is what I do. Y'all must have forgot. We could go
on and on. Mike McAdam, Vinny Pazienza. See, y'all must have forgot. Y'all must have forgot. Y'all must have forgot.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks, thanks.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat. Cause that's what I do when I get it done so I can do it. Yeah!